And welcome back to The Blank Canvas, the show in which we speak about visual culture and creative community. I'm Amanda Coulson. I'm the director of the National Art Gallery of the Bahamas, and you're listening to 96.9 Guardian Talk Radio. Please don't forget that you can always listen to the show again. We download the shows after it's aired onto our own website, which is www.nagb.org.bs. And you can go to the Learn menu, and then on there you'll find Blank Canvas. And you can listen to all the archive shows and also look at our pictures if you want to. So that's a nice thing to do on a rainy day. Rainy season coming up. So, you know, when you're stuck in the house watching the next hurricane pass over, listen to some Blank Canvas. hopefully no hurricanes this year. So we've just heard from Holly Bino before the break. Holly is the chief curator at the National Art Gallery, but also the founder of Tilting Axis, which is this roving conference focusing on the Caribbean practices and professional arts professionals. And it moves from place to place every year. And this year it was in the Dominican Republic. And unfortunately, Holly was too ill to go, and I couldn't go just because of timing. But we do have Heino Schmidt, who is an artist and also a professor at University of the Bahamas in the art department. Hello, Heino.
Good day.
And we also have Tessa Whitehead in the studio with us, who is another Bahamian artist and the curator at the D'Aguilar Art Foundation. Hi,
Hello.
Tessa.
Hi.
And you guys were able to go this year. So you both went. So really, you know, you were also there in Cayman, right? The
yes,
year
we
before.
Were. Yep.
Do you feel like there were changes to the, like, this was actually the first one in the Spanish speaking Caribbean. So that must have been the biggest change.
Yeah, I mean, I think there definitely were. Like, the Spanish was it kind of slowed down the process a little mm-hmm. bit, but in a good way, like in a very methodical way. So we'd sit and, you know, had earpieces with translators and taking lots of notes and spent the evening kind of going over the notes a little bit. So it was very different from Cayman, but from what I understand, Cayman was very different from Miami the year before. And I think, like, that's maybe one of the strengths of the conference is that depending on who's hosting it, like, the experience has to change.
And
it was a great experience. I have to give full props to Holly and the Tilting Axis team. It was very well organized. Never really ran late, too late with anything. It was very thorough and lots and lots of information. My brain fried, I think, like two or three times properly with just beautiful, beautiful, like, facts. And a lot of the presenters really drew out a lot of empathy, I think, from the audience as well, in ways that you wouldn't have just reading something online or mm-hmm. or trying to, like, guess at what somebody else is doing somewhere else. It was very thorough.
Yeah.
Very much enjoyed.
Tessa? Do you have anything to add to that
no.
overall? No?
No, I mean, I could just mirror that. They're just, it's 3 days of a lot of content. And you take in, you know, more than you can handle at first, and sort of it sort of renews your investment in what you're doing at home and gives you new ideas.
And do you find, like, as a Bahamian, obviously, Holly spoke to that a little bit before the break, you know, we tend to... you know, we think of our colleagues in the region as being Jamaica and Bermuda and you know, Barbados and places that speak English. How was it to be? Did you feel somehow connected? Did you feel a similarity there? Did you feel very different? Like, how was it to be in a Spanish-speaking Caribbean place? And did that? Do you find that reflected somehow in the institutions you visited or the work you were seeing?
I think that it drew attention to the fact that not. That we're not that connected or not as connected as we are to our English-speaking partners, but that we face a lot of similar difficulties and challenges trying to run art spaces and trying to be artists and sort of act in the community. It feels like we have similar concerns. So there was definitely connecting mm-hmm. when everyone was speaking, there was still a lot of everyone was resonating with what other people were dealing with and handling and concerns. But it was also eye opening. It was a needed connection, mm-hmm. I think.
What about you, Heine?
I completely agree. I think it was surprising, even though there was a language barrier, it was surprising for me just to kind of look through some of the works and see connections just or parallels even, and just how the work was being processed, you know, this idea of placement and identity, all of those like things from that I think we still struggle with in our small community that kind of echo out into what would, like, the DR is a much larger space. You know, I didn't even know they had an underground. Like, that's crazy to me.
It was like when I was like the first time I went to Trinidad and they had flyovers. I was like, I was like flyovers.
but there was a lot of parallels in the work and just the decorum and the way people were like very DIY with everything, which I think is very specific to art in the region. And I think something I walked away with from Cayman last year as well. Like it's just like less like the artists do everything, you know, and that's something that. Is actually a good thing, I think, and it was nice to see echoed in a very productive and larger community, I think.
Yeah, because it is much bigger. So I was going to ask that. How much did that how do you feel like our scene kind of compares to, I mean, that's like, it's like a major metropolis. I mean, Dominican Republic, you know, Santo Domingo is like New York, basically. I mean, when you go there, like you said, subways, high rises, huge museums and several. Did you feel our scene like lived up to, I mean, I feel like it does.
I think we're so much smaller. I think it does. I think it was a little specific because the time we weren't there for maybe 3 days, and I have the calendar in front of me. It was pretty scheduled out, like from hour to hour to hour. So I don't know if you got the full spectrum of like of how vast and the nuances of the art scene there. All I know is it's bigger, but I think we do a good job here as well in terms of accessing the visceral content that makes the community strong and the work good. Like it's the same thing, just slightly less artists or something.
But also galleries, because I know there they have, did they take you to see any galleries or museums? Because I mean there they have really quite a network of professional galleries, right? And we even like a couple have exhibited at Volta, and they're out there doing like international art fairs, and we're sort of getting there. We've started doing that. Do you feel like the artists had a, as an artist, did you look at that and be like, wow, I wish we could have that? Or do you feel like they have a different support system that you have here as artists?
I didn't get that sense. No, I mean, I did get the sense that it was larger. And we did, on the third day, we went on a walking tour.
In Santo Domingo?
In Santo Domingo.
In Zona Colonial.
In Zona Colonial. And we went to, I think, about 4 or 5 spaces, which, you know, differed in their intentions. And, you know, the architecture is so different there. It has what my very limited understanding of Spanish architecture is. It was Spanish architecture. It has, like, terracotta tiles, and it's these beautiful, much older homes than I think we have access to. Yeah. And so then the art is like, backdropped again, like, very contemporary artwork was had a backdrop of these old kind of homes with courtyards and
almost palatial. I mean, I know they're smaller, but it has that feeling of, they're sort of mansions, at least, like these very sort of solid, bourgeois mansions.
Absolutely. So there was a very different feeling to the way you were looking at the artwork. But when you were in the conference, you're sort of seeing underneath the veil. And I think when you see underneath the veil, you're seeing that they're still facing similar concerns from an institutional level anyway, of like importing, exporting being difficult, of taxes being difficult, of getting work made being difficult, of getting access to money being difficult.
Well, actually,
like, all
I have
the
to
things
say,
we face. So
the recent budget is actually improving. I mean, already we had a much easier situation than a lot of Caribbean countries. And I have to say, this government has been supportive of apparently art supplies will be duty free if you apply to the ministry. I'm still figuring out how that's going to work. I know exactly. But and as you know, like, importing and exporting artwork has also become much easier here.
Yeah. One of the things,
so maybe we're ahead of the curve there.
Yeah. One of the things that I was because it's an interest of mine, of like the idea that we could change policy to be a little bit more cutting edge and a little bit more like understanding of the importance of arts and culture. In a more thorough sense than I think we have done in the past. It was interesting hearing about the difficulties with policy that other countries in the Caribbean are facing. It seems pretty similar, and it seems like it would be a great idea for us all to sort of just focus on that at some point. But
which is actually happening next week at
UWE. Wonderful.
Suzanne Burke, Dr. Suzanne Burke, who presented on the last day in a sober mesa with the minister of, or the director of culture from St. Martin, Clara Riz. They had a pretty interesting conversation on autonomy, on like the function of art, and I thought it very much, I guess, a progressive conversation with them to people who you would think have been in it for such a long time that they just become jaded, and they have like no reason to actually think about uniting and making other platforms for us to push for that policy. Suzanne Burke is working with the British Council and the University of the West Indies, St. Augustine, to present a three-day conference starting on Wednesday next week called Catalyst. And they're basically going to break down the cultural industry and try to figure out what our policy is. And maybe that model might be shared with other Caribbean countries to see how we can dissect, how we could implement the things that we, of course, are excessive, we probably don't need to consider. But the fact that people are still working to clarify this, you know, 40 years after CARICOM, is, I mean, it's important work.
We're still trying to work out CARICOM 40 years after CARICOM.
it's drudgery, but that work definitely continues. And, of course, the institutions like UWE have to spearhead it because they have so much. That knowledge base is huge, and they've collected all of the data. So I'm going to be a part of that conference next week.
Wonderful!
Sorry, I think you're didn't such mean a, to no. I think that's, that to say that.
I think that that's such an exciting move. It seems to me we're in such a good position because slightly disorganized means that you can organize in the right way, and we're slightly disorganized. We haven't quite figured out some of how we're going to move forward, and that's a good place.
No, in a way it is, because you can actually create something cohesive from the ground up rather than try to connect a patchwork of different countries with different agreements, if we could actually all come together and decide on something.
Yeah, and you know, like the wheel has been invented, you know, and we don't need to struggle to figure out how to make it unique for our space. Maybe we just need that model and adapt it according to suit. And I do think that the Bahamas is actually I would say it's very friendly with regards to the policy as it relates to
Definitely. I mean, we are progressive. I mean, it feels absolutely. Like many of us in the culture arena here is constantly frustrated because we want to be somewhere else, and we see where we want to go. But actually, when you look around, we're really very progressive.
Yeah, no, there's a lot of incentive for development here. And maybe the institution stands to be the one that would profit the most right now, but I do see that splitting very, very soon, and entrepreneurs and, you know, private enterprise and artists, they would also have that autonomy and that incentive to develop, you know, whether it be studios or galleries or other spaces that don't quite make sense now, but in 5 years you look back and say, oh, hey, this was the start, this is the thing that they needed to put in place for us to do this work.
And actually, when I think about, as I was talking about Dominican Republic, I was thinking about everything that sort of happened here over the last few years since I was there 4 years ago or something. And so much has actually happened here in those 4 years in terms of, you know, how we've evolved as an art scene. And it's hard to because, again, we still know there's still so much to do. But when I think of like, oh, actually, now we have this, and oh, actually, now we have that, you know, we've actually evolved quite a lot. And I think we're going to continue to do so. So. We are speaking with a whole group of people. Natalie hasn't had a chance to say anything yet, but she's going to come in after the break, and we're going to make the big announcement. But we've heard from Tessa Whitehead, who is an artist and curator at the D'Aguila Art Foundation. She's an artist, and a curator at the D'Aguila Art Foundation. And Heino Schmidt, who's also an artist and a professor at University of the Bahamas in the art department. And Holly Bino, the chief curator of the National Art Gallery, who's also the founding of Tilting Axis, the conference that we are speaking about, that actually the NAGB also came on as a partner this year, and will continue to partner with Tilting Axis in the next coming years. So we're excited about that too. And we're going to talk more about that after the break. You are listening to The Blank Canvas, the show in which we speak about visual culture and creative community. I'm Amanda Coulson. I'm the director of the National Art Gallery. And you're listening to 96.9 Guardian Talk Radio. We're going to be right back after the break.